Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast as we roll on with LSU Florida Week, previewing the top 10 matchup in Tiger Stadium on Saturday night. ESPN, 7 o'clock. We're going to have all your coverage on go247.com for you guys. I'm Billy Umbody. With me, Shay Dixon, Sonny Shipp. Let's go ahead and say hello to Sonny right off the bat. Sonny, how's the week going preparing for this big 5-7 matchup in Tiger Stadium?
Huge game, man. Huge game. It seems like since week two against Texas, it's been three games that everyone's just, you know, enjoyed looking at the offense. But now you actually have a quality opponent coming up, and I'm excited. I'm excited to see what this offense can do against a pretty good defense, and to see if LSU's defense steps up with some healthy bodies and is able to continue what we saw last week in this what'll be certainly a lot of DBU matchup talk.
Jay Dixon, what about you, brother? No, you're getting amped up. We've been blowing out a ton of recruiting updates. It keeps us busy on weeks like this.
Yeah, I mean, this has been my busiest work week of the year, and I think for good reason. Obviously, the game warrants it, and it's exciting. I mean, look, the buzz around Baton Rouge. I feel like by Thursday, usually, you start to feel all everybody getting excited, everybody talking about setting up their tailgate and being out there all day, and then obviously Friday, people are jetting out of work half days and trying to get on with things. So. This is up there, man. This is, I think people are as excited for the opponent and the matchup as they are excited, just as Sonny said, to continue to see this LSU team and then face, you know, the offense face a good, respected defense. And obviously the defense go up against an SEC opponent that got a big win last week. So it's exciting. And like you said, look, you can go check out the visitor list on Go247, but it'll certainly be the best of the year, definitely the best by, you know, so far, obviously. But, you know, they've got some official visitors in. They'll have near 100 guys in probably on the unofficial visit list. And the majority of that group either already have offers or eventually will have an offer. So from recruiting to fans to us in the media, I think that everybody's pretty amped for this one. This is why we cover it, right? Like Orgeron always says, this is why you come to LSU. This is why we cover LSU, a big game like this. And it is Florida Hate Week. And I'll tell you what we said, Billy, earlier this week on the podcast, but the players talked about how they hate Florida. Florida talks about how they hate LSU. It's not even considered trash talk. It's just like saying basic statements. And I know that LSU doesn't really have some permanent rival, but boy, I'd put Florida up there in that top group of teams that each year when the game rolls around, the fan base gets excited for it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you can see it on the boards. You can see it. People are scoping out other threads on the Florida board, looking for that extra energy as far as why to have that extra hate in their heart this week for the Gators. But it's fun. Like you said, this is why we cover it. I'll be down in Miami with the Redskins, but getting to get a look at and you and I talked about this earlier on the week. In the week, Shay, Marcus Dumervil. So I'll be down watching him play some high school football while I'm down in that area with the us hapless Redskins trying to get a win over the Dolphins. But you guys will enjoy Tiger Stadium. It's going to be sold out, College Game Day on campus. So you can't get much bigger than this, like you guys said. And we're awaiting the guest picker news as well, which earlier in the week we heard it would be Zion Williamson, which would kind of make sense, but looks like they're keeping whoever it is under wraps. And so we'll be kind of watching that. But you get rumors and trash talk and all those things all week. I never really thought we'd have a guest picker controversy, though. That one was pretty funny to me, Shay. just the way it all kind of played out there.
Yeah, that was weird. And it was like a Pelicans writer who put that out too. So I know folks are amped to see who it is. We are as well. By the time people are listening to the podcast, obviously they might already know the answer whenever LSU or ESPN or whoever releases it. But what that's going to be at 8 a.m. is what, because game day, I feel like it had, maybe in years past, it didn't always start at 8, but they expanded it. So an 8 a.m. Beginning on the quad at LSU for people who are looking to get out there and be a part of it. And I think we did a story on it this week. I'm no weatherman. I Googled it and looked at it through AccuWeather and the Weather Channel, but I think it's 59 degrees at 8 a.m. So no complaints to the folks who want to go out there and put in a full day on campus, because you won't be sweating your ass off the whole time. You'll actually be able to enjoy a nice cool day as the rain came through this week and pushed this cold front in.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be one of those great days on campus, and we're going to be there for it all for you guys. So keep it locked on Go 24/7 for sure. One thing that we're also monitoring, we won't have to really monitor the weather, but certainly on the injury front, for me, that's kind of one of the leading storylines leading up to kickoff is where will Michael Divinity be, Rashard Lawrence, Glenn Logan, Cordell Flott, who looks like he's making quite the recovery. We know that LSU will be without Terrace Marshall, even though he started practicing. Derek Stingley is fine after missing one practice earlier this week. But Sonny, just how big of a boost would it be if Rashard Lawrence and Glenn Logan can both go and get into the mix here on the defensive line?
Well, it'd be big, because I think I think that's the one area that Florida has a nice advantage over LSU at right now, as but of course a lot depends on the health. Florida's also battling some health issues. You've got their big defensive end, Jabari Zuniga, who is nursing an ankle, ironically the same thing that Rashard Lawrence and Glenn Logan are dealing with also. And then also their Buck linebacker, Jonathan Greenard. That's two of their better pass rushers, two of their better guys that are going to be playing on the defensive line. So it's going to be interesting to see how much those two guys can go for Florida, because if you take them out of the lineup, well, then I think that changes the Florida defense. They're a pretty big dynamic for the Florida defense. But from the LSU perspective, I really like the way Glenn Farrell has been playing this year. I think he is, that he is playing himself into really being a prominent defensive lineman next year for his senior year. And Braden Fajoco is probably playing as good as he has since he's been at LSU. With that said, if you can get Rashard Lawrence, who I think has a much better chance of playing and giving you more significant snaps than Glenn Logan does, then that just adds a little bit of depth that LSU has not had, over these last few games that Lawrence has been out. How much Lawrence is able to play through the pain that he's still experiencing in his ankle, I think that's going to be a little bit of a storyline to see if he can push through in a big game of this magnitude. But Ed Orgeron has stated that he thinks that being able to stop the Florida run game is the biggest thing. I think whichever team is able to protect the quarterback and whichever team is able to have a bigger impact at rushing the quarterback, that's going to be the big difference here.
Sonny, I'm with you. I don't know if Orgeron was just being kind or kind of just, looking to say we got to stop their run game or anybody's run game to find success. But look, I think if you look at the stat sheet from last week, right, Florida beat Auburn. Auburn is known to have a very good defense. P. Ryan, their running back, Florida's running back, obviously, ran for a little over 100 in that game. I think he was at 120-something yards in that game, if I'm mistaken. My apologies. But the point of why I'm saying that is that at the end of that game, when it was only a couple-point game, Florida was ahead, but Auburn was obviously still very much in it. Florida was trying to work out really the shadows of their own goalpost. And they handed off to P. Ryan, and they hit him right at the line and don't tackle him. And then he gets to the second level, and he goes right to the sideline. And the guy, one of their DBs, tries to make a diving play instead of just trying to chase him down or anything like that. And he misses a tackle. And then P. Ryan runs at 88 yards. So 88 of your 120-something came on one play where you missed multiple tackles. And had Auburn gotten a stop on that drive, they would have gotten the ball back with, 4 or 5 minutes left or whatever it was. And been able to go down and kick a field goal, or been able to go down and score a touchdown, or whatever it would have been. And obviously the P. Ryan touchdown put it out of reach for him. But my point there is I'm with you. I think that I'm not overly concerned about Florida's run game. I think that, sure, they can run the football a little bit on LSU if they try to stay committed to it. But with this, it's going to be tough, right? Like, how do you stay committed to running the football if you're losing? And it's so weird for us to keep saying it, but this, you've got to keep up with this LSU offense. And I know that, I guess, Texas would be the best defense they faced, obviously, and they were down some guys in that game. They didn't play incredibly well on defense in that game, but I think that's more of just a common theme for teams that are playing LSU right now. It's just tough to stop them because they do so well throwing the football. They throw it quickly, and I think that's the good thing, right, guys, is that, as Sonny said, whichever team's protecting their quarterback better is going to give that quarterback some time to throw the football, and is probably going to end up putting themselves in a really good position to win the game or stay in the game, in Florida's case, you would assume. And LSU's done well protecting Joe Burrow, and they don't sit back there forever. They kind of have this quick passing game, and he's also been good on deep balls, as good as anybody in the SEC. But you can throw it out there to Chase or Justin Jefferson, and we saw Derek Dillon get involved, and obviously Thaddeus Moss. But I really feel that LSU's O-line has answered the call this year. And I look at Florida's O-line and they have one returning starter. It's a major issue for them this year. They haven't played well. And Kyle Trask, who has not started a road game since he was 14 years old. It's a well-told story now. He was obviously the backup to De'Arik King at Houston while he was in high school. And then he went to Florida and he's been a backup there and got in now that Felipe Franks got injured. And maybe he's an upgrade from Felipe Franks. I think some Florida fans believe that to be the case. And I wouldn't say that they're lying, but I'd also say that if you're going into Tiger Stadium for a 7 p.m. game and you're going on the road as a starter for the first time since, you know, 7 years or however long it's been, if he's a 20-something-year-old now, that's tough. And when you don't have an O-line that's played well, when you've thrown a couple picks, which isn't a ton, but he puts the ball on the ground a lot, and so does Florida. And if you're turning the ball over more than once, twice against LSU, they're going to outscore you. Because look, guys, we've talked about it. LSU always, Orgeron always preaches turnover differential. They haven't been that great at that this year. The defense doesn't have a ton of takeaways until the last game, really, against Utah State. And even then, nobody beyond Texas has come close to keeping up with LSU. So I'm with you. I don't really think that the biggest issue is stopping Florida's run game. I think it's just going to be score points on offense and make Kyle Trask beat you. And I think that's going to put Florida in a situation that's not too desirable.
You know, it's kind of funny, Shay, that you mentioned the that some Florida fans actually feel more, you know, better about having Kyle Trask. And if I'm a Florida fan or if I'm Dan Mullen, I absolutely would want Felipe Franks in this situation right here. Franks, I think, gives him a little more, you know, gives him a little more mobility than what Trask brings to the table. And it's hard for me to go back and think of a Mississippi State quarterback that Dan Mullen had that he was successful with that couldn't at least make some plays with his feet, you know, couldn't extend plays, moving around in the pocket a little bit. And when you look at Trask, he didn't bring that to the table even before he got suffered the knee injury against Auburn. Now, how much that knee comes into play remains to be seen, but it's hard for me. It's hard for me to see him taking the shot that he took last week, having to put that big knee brace on, then coming out after a week once some swelling sets in, and then being able to, being able to make plays if LSU is able to get that pass rush that we both alluded to, and for me that's why I think getting Michael Divinity back, having Caleb Von Chase on, as close to 100% as he's probably been all year, those two recipes right there combined with Kyle Trask and the in his situation with his mobility and with the knee, that's why that's one reason that I feel really good about LSU in this one.
Yeah, when we were talking with some of our media brethren earlier in the season, when Felipe Franks went down with that ugly injury, a lot of us kind of sat there and said we felt like Florida was maybe a quarterback change away from actually being a challenger in the SEC. And I do think I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum, I guess, that while it hasn't been it's his first road start since he was 14 or whatever, but I still think Trask gives him a better chance to win. I just think Felipe Franks, just frankly, pun intended, I guess, to it just isn't that great. And yes, he beat LSU last year, but that was in the swamp. I thought Mullen was in a play calling zone that I think they were certainly a different team than they are this year. I don't think they're going to be able to put up points and match LSU. I just think it's just not going to happen. And like Chase said, we haven't seen anyone keep pace with LSU. And even then it kind of took, you know, Texas scoring, you know, late and then, yeah, to make it that one score game where the onside kick came down, you know, it came down to that kind of to seal that win. But look, I just, when you look at the offenses around the SEC and what Florida did to Auburn defensively was very impressive, but no one's sitting there saying that Florida is similar to LSU offensively, whether Bo Nix has been off to a great start, at least leading up to that game, or not as a true freshman. He just, that offense didn't really show anything, in my opinion, in that game that shows me that they could keep up with LSU's, regardless of kind of what the injury aspect of LSU's defense has been this season. So with that, enough kind of injury talk on how this game is impacted by that, at least for LSU's defense. But look, we're going to take a quick break. I do want to plug our promo that we have going on right now at go247.com. We've got 60% off annual subscriptions right now for new subscribers to join Go247. Just a little bit under $4 a month. You can get all that VIP access to the visitor list, recruits reacting, and also, I'll plug this on the basketball side of things, just dropped a huge Tiger Wrap-ish type of piece with notes on just about every prospect that LSU is in on the basketball front, multiple five stars, official visitors, and a class prediction piece. So you can get a ton of the VIP content on the cheap this weekend as that promo is running all weekend. So definitely check that out. But with that, we're going to take a quick break from the Go 24/7 podcast. We're going to come back and on the other side of the break, talk a few keys to the game, what else you need to do to win, and share some predictions. So we'll be right back on the Go 24/7 podcast right after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome back to the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. Quick reminder to leave us a rating, leave us a review, and hit that subscribe button. We might just shout you out on Twitter for leaving those ratings and reviews. Back to LSU, Florida, 7 o'clock Saturday night, Tiger Stadium. Awesome, awesome matchup. There's going to be certainly a ton to digest and look at post-game, but going into this one, I think it's a fairly simple game plan for LSU. I think getting Joe Burrow into a rhythm early on, like they have so many times. And for me, when LSU came out against Vanderbilt and Vanderbilt goes right down the field and scores and LSU just responded and immediately took over the game offensively, that's what I want to see from LSU going into this one. I want to see them come out, be sharp. I thought they were a little off their game to start that Utah State game, and lo and behold, they still rolled up 600 yards of offense and won 42-6, got by that one. This is one where Joe Burrow has a chance to really write his initial Heisman Trophy resume. It seems like that Texas game was so long ago, and now we're into October and certainly the next month and really a week with the Alabama game, or next month almost to the day. We'll write that story for him. So for me, Joe Burrow getting into a rhythm, having another dominant day, is the big key. What say you, Shay? Or what say you, Sonny? You got one that really stands out to you?
No, I agree with you 100%. You know, and that's why I don't think Florida has the firepower to be able to keep up with LSU in this one. When you look at the spread, who knows what it'll be on Friday, but at Thursday, you know, it had gone anywhere from 13 to 14 and a half points throughout the week. And I think that's what Vegas sees. I think Vegas doesn't feel like Florida has the firepower to be able to match the point production that LSU can throw up like Texas can. And that's to me, that's why you see such a, you know, such a big discrepancy when you're talking about a number five and a number seven ranked team hooking up. Very rarely do you see that big of a spread. And so Joe Burrow's ability to go out, to move this offense, and to continue to put up record-setting numbers, and LSU offense, the offensive line, its ability to protect Joe Burrow and give him time to make those plays. You know, it's going to face a lot more pressure with Todd Grantham. The good thing is facing Todd Orlando's defense at Texas, that kind of gave them a taste of what Todd Grantham will bring to the table with some of his blitz packages, with throwing different looks at him and things of that nature. But I think, you know, we talked about the pass rush. Right after the pass rush, it's, you know, Joe Burrow has to, you know, continue to make the plays that he's made. And I really think that this is a game right here to where you're going to see him do more off of the read option.
Yeah, I was going to just say, look, I echo what y'all say. I mean, and so many people have asked, is this the week John Emery breaks out? Is this, you know, who's going to be the third receiver? For me, it just comes down to get Joe Burrow going and throw it to Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson. That right there has carried you already through a hand, you know, the start of the season. Now, obviously, Terrace Marshall was really good, and it's tough to replace how well he was playing. Not that they can't replace it. Derek Dillon played well last week. They'll use Thaddeus Moss more. But look, I mean, we saw the Texas game. You play a good team, and as Sonny said, maybe the Todd Orlando defense preps you a bit for Grantham. That game, they said, okay, let's give it to Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He can be our running game. I think at this point in the season, they feel a little bit more comfortable now with playing Emery and Davis Price in some spots. But I think at the end of the day, you're going to look at the stat sheet, and if LSU wins, the people who played well are going to be Chase, Jefferson, Burrow, and Edwards-Helaire. And I think that's fine.
Yeah, and for me, looking at what Emery and Ty Davis Price did last week against Utah State, really getting a lot of looks and been working more and more. I think that's a great thing. I think it's a huge positive when you look at down the stretch when they're going to need Clyde Edwards-Helaire to be fresh and be ready to go and not banged up or, you know, having to be a workhorse for this offense. That'll just kind of help facilitate a little bit more of the pressure coming off the offense. And you'll get Terrace Marshall back for the stretch run. Could be the Auburn game. Definitely the Alabama game at this point. And those things will kind of alleviate pressures on these guys that are having to step up right now. But I'm with you. I mean, Derek Dillon, great to see him get involved last week. That was a big positive. He had been banged up at times throughout the year. And now they can just look to their big guns in Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson and say, okay, you guys, we're going to need you this week, because Florida does have a good secondary and they can certainly – make a talented group kind of look, you know, average, but I don't think that's going to be the case this week. We just haven't seen, and I don't think we've seen the entirety of this offense yet. And I mean, I go back to, I forget which game it was, but it might've been the opener, but they ran that screen pass at the Saints run it with Michael Thomas at the goal line. And people were just kind of like, oh my gosh, I know that play. I watch the Saints all the time. I still think they're still working in more and more of this offense. And this is probably the first game where they're going to go out there and maybe have to use a little bit more than they have had to throughout the year. But that's a good thing. That's a positive. And some new wrinkles, I think, are in the fold this weekend.
Yeah, and you mentioned the Florida secondary. You know, the amount of passes that Florida's defense has picked off this year is really, I want to say it's a dozen right now. And they're one of the only teams in the FBS ranks to have four guys on defense with two picks on the year. You look at their cornerbacks, CJ Henderson, Marco Wilson. CJ Henderson last week, he really started to kind of, you know, play like the player that everybody thought he was going to be going into this year. NFL scouts, they like him. They like his size, 6'1", 200 plus pounds. And, you know, those two matched up against Jefferson and Chase. Those are going to be some good battles, and those are going to be some good matchups. I think this is a game that you look at and you say, boy, we would love to have Terrace Marshall in there. Obviously, any game you would like to have him in there, but he would create such, having that presence in the lineup and in running every route would create so many problems for a defense that's already having to worry about two guys, and you throw a third one in there, and it really just muddies that picture a little bit as far as how you attack that offense and what you do with it. But I'm with you. Derek Dillon has played well. Racy McMath really played well against Vanderbilt. Didn't get as many touches against Utah State. Obviously, he missed the first half with his suspension but being kicked out of the Vanderbilt game. But is this a game that you really see LSU utilize the tight ends, Stephon Sullivan, Thaddeus Moss? We've seen him have some stretches, Moss coming off his biggest game against Utah State. But the tight ends are going to be some interesting matchups for me, because Florida has one of the best in Kyle Pitts, and how LSU chooses to defend him, if it's Jacoby Stevens, if it's the linebackers, I think he's going to pose he's going to pose some mismatch problems, Shay.
I think that for the reason you said, and not that they're not going to rely on Jefferson and Chase throughout the day, and those guys will probably be following him around, no matter if Jefferson's in the slot or on the outside, he'll have those guys kind of tracking him, but their linebackers are not the strength as much as their DBs are. So for that reason, do you try to get Thaddeus Moss more involved, as you said? And I'm with you. If you're trying to slow down Pitts or any good tight end, I'm putting Jacoby Stevens on him again. And I know you lost Todd Harris, and you like using Stevens at safety. And, you know, you've got to then be playing someone beyond Grant Delpit there, whether it's Cam Lewis or whether it's Eric Monroe or whoever you might have back there, Kerry Vincent, if he plays some safety. And look, with Jacoby Stevens, I look back at the A&M game a year ago at the end of last season, and he followed around arguably in Sternberger, one of the best tight ends they faced all season, and did great across four quarters and seven overtimes or whatever it was. And it was clear then that even as a safety, he can match up and all night and run with the guy who is an athletic, big-bodied tight end and is really instrumental in the passing game. So I do. I think that I'm interested to see how, because Trask, a quarterback on the road, who's not started a road game before, the tight end becomes your best friend. And in a game like this, how does Aranda counter that? And I won't be surprised at all if they rely on Stevens heavily, and we'll see kind of who they can use at safety beyond Delpit and obviously Stevens. But I would understand and certainly agree if they put three safeties on the field and move Stevens down into the box or have him covering a tight end throughout the game.
Yeah, that's a great point on Jacoby Stevens. And we've seen Grant Delpit step up last weekend with an interception. We'll see if he continues to kind of take his game back up to where it was last year. And Jacoby said something interesting this week. He said, look, people aren't seeing the statistics with Grant Delpit this year, but you know what? So many people just don't go at him, send the ball his way. And so it is something where he's not getting maybe as many opportunities to flash this year. And I do think his play dropped off a little bit from what the expectations were going in. But for him to get that interception last week, I think that was big. So I'm interested to see if Grant Delpit has a big game this weekend and kind of continues to assert himself as one of these premier, which he is, defensive players in college football. But in terms of having a massive impact, we just haven't seen it as much this year. So I want to see him make his mark felt on this game. Fellas, I think it's time for predictions. I to be honest, haven't really thought too much about this. So Sonny, Shay, let's go with Shay first. You want to weigh in with a prediction here?
Yes. And then y'all can just copy what I think, obviously. I'm with, Sonny said it earlier in the podcast, but Vegas all week had this game at 13.5, hovering in that. I don't really think it had much movement at all. And that tells me, and look, I love to say it, and everybody does, they've got a bunch of big, expensive buildings out in Vegas for a reason. A lot of people making a lot of money for a reason. It's because they're more often than not, they're right, and they're spot on. And I think LSU is at least two touchdowns better than Florida. I just believe that to be the case. We said it throughout the podcast today. I think the theme of this game is going to be the theme of what LSU season has been so far, and that's if you're going to beat them, then score as many points as they do. And I know, obviously, the team that scores more is going to win, but what I mean by that is this offense has not shown any signs that they can be slowed down yet. Now, they're not invincible, obviously. They can have rough days, but even when Burrow's turned the ball over early in games, which has happened multiple times, he's come back, and Texas is a prime example. You know, they get a big goal line stand, the momentum kind of shifts, and he gets the ball bad, he throws a pick, and Texas is right there knocking on the door again. How do you respond? He's lights out, doesn't faze him. The receivers have caught the ball so well. The offensive line has blocked more than well enough to give Burrow time this year. And obviously, now that you brought along your two freshman running backs, you've got a guy you trust in Edwards-Helaire. The pieces are all there, and I think they've continued to play better on defense. I don't think defense is a glaring issue, especially against Florida. So give me 30-something to probably in that 17 to 20 range. I'll say 35 to 20, and LSU covers, and maybe they score more than that. 35 might be low. But point being, I think that I don't think this one's going to be close, and I won't be surprised if even by the second quarter, LSU's got themselves a 10-point lead and hold that the rest of the way, which it sounds so funny to say. This game is, you know, this series has always been tight, but we just aren't used to seeing an LSU offense like this. And it's not your normal Florida team where, yes, they have speed, but I just don't know if they have the playmakers, as Sonny said earlier, to keep up with LSU. So give me, 35 to 20 or 38 to 20, something in that range.
Yeah, I've been asked, my boy soccer coach asked me early on in the week. He's a huge LSU fan and stuff. And he was like, give me a score. And I told him then, I said, all right, give me 34-13 LSU. And from that point on all week, I've tried to find reasons. I've tried to find things to point to tell me that it's going to be a closer game than this. And I keep going back to Kyle Trask making it that first start in Tiger Stadium on the road. His knee, his mobility not great in the first place. Florida not really having a strong run game that they can lean on if the pass is not working. Dan Mullen not having a mobile quarterback. Florida having some guys on defense who are difference makers that you need in a game like this, but that aren't 100%. And every time that I look for a reason that this game is going to be closer, I just keep going back to this 34-13. I just don't see Florida being able to have the firepower to be able to match points with LSU. Now, if something, you know, God forbid that Joe Burrow goes down, but for me, that's the only way that I could see this game not being a multiple score outcome for LSU. I think Joe Burrow is too focused that he wants a lot of revenge against what happened in the Swamp last year, because he thought that he was going to be looking at another Auburn game to where he leads LSU on this last drive comeback. Then he had to pick six. Then he was picked off again. So the game certainly did not end the way that he would have liked. And I really think that he's going to go into this game taking it personal and look at, and not necessarily look at the numbers that he put up, but know the way that he played and the numbers that he produced and how he played, and that he's just going to get out there and that he's going to really have a fire lit under him for this one. So for me, put me down for 34-13. Like I said, I just can't point to something that tells me Florida can stop the LSU offense and match its firepower.
Great points, guys. And Sonny, I will say, Barton Simmons on the 24/7 Sports College Football Show said the exact same thing you did. That he was looking for reasons to say, okay, this one, it's going to play out differently than what the experts are saying or what have you. Because when you see a line like this, that's exactly what you say. You say, what do they know? I mean, is Florida's whole offensive line out and it's starting walk-ons? I mean, what could possibly, in a game that has been decided by 8 points or less in the last five meetings, how can all of a sudden this LSU offense mean that much, that it's going to be a blowout, really? I mean, in the SEC and in this type of a matchup and a rivalry, a two-touchdown win would be a blowout. I think LSU What?
Oh, go ahead. Yeah, please. No, I think you're dead on, right? Because all year people have said, man, look, these teams are all ranked in the top 10 or whatever, but there's a drop-off between the top six and everybody else. I think now we see it's a 14-point drop-off, right? Like, between 5-6 and then everybody else. Yes, Florida is 7, but they're a 14-point dog, and I think being at home helps a little, sure. But, yeah, I'm with you, too. I hate to interject, but I think that's what we're seeing right here. I think that the 4, 5, 6 best teams in the country are about 10 points or more better than everybody else.
Yeah, and look, when you put it kind of like that in that, okay, well, they're 10, 12, 14 points better, it doesn't seem like a ton, but in the SEC, that's a lot. And so I think I'm rolling with LSU to cover. I'm very confident LSU is going to win. I'm not really concerned with that as much. I haven't been high on Florida all year, and they just had a great game plan for Auburn and a true freshman quarterback and made him look like one in that game. But this is Joe Burrow, Heisman Trophy candidate. He's looked the part all year long, and I don't see why he's not going to on Saturday night. I'm going to go LSU 45, Florida 27. So they'll get a couple field goals. They'll get, you know, three touchdowns, maybe a garbage time touchdown. But I don't think this one's going to end up being that close. I think LSU is going to come out ready to roll. And I think the management of how Ed Orgeron has kind of managed some of these injuries throughout the year is going to allow somebody like Divinity to be ready to go and get more snaps out of Lawrence and Logan, potentially Logan, than maybe they were counting on had they tried to battle through Utah State or what have you. But I think Caleb on Chasson has a big night, and LSU's able to really stymie Kyle Trask and them for the most part. Maybe a blown coverage type of touchdown from them, but this one's not going to be close. I like Joe Burrow. I like what this offense is all about, and so I got LSU. I guess I'm going to roll with him winning big.
I think that's a good pick, Billy. Putting up 45, it's hard to even think of, you know, imagine LSU, this game being, this far apart. And it takes me back to the game where, we've seen the memorable fake kicks and everything that has happened between this series. And it seems like the last time that there was this big of a discrepancy, between the two teams, at least as far as picks and things like that, goes back to when Brad Wing made that famous punt return and LSU rolled up about 40 points or more on him during a day game in Tiger Stadium. Being a night game like this right here, you know that atmosphere is, and the energy is going to be out of this world, and I just can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be an absolute treat on Saturday night. We've talked enough about it. We are going to really, really enjoy covering this one on Go 24/7. Ton of content on the site. Swing by, check it out. Again, take advantage of that promo deal, 60% off annual subscriptions. You can't really beat it. I mean, less than $4 a month. So check it out. 60% off annual subscriptions, all the VIP content you could watch or want, and enjoy watching the game this weekend. Have a cold one, whether you're tailgating or on the couch. Stop by Go 24/7, talk about it with us, and we will bring you guys all the coverage of this LSU-Florida mega matchup. College game day hits Baton Rouge on Saturday. We're going to have a great time covering it. Guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. Shay, Sonny, thanks for joining, and everybody have a safe but awesome weekend watching the Tigers battle the Gators.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.